The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. Luke 24:20-21. Good morning and welcome to Through Their Message. It's resurrection morning. The sun is risen, the day has begun, and from where once darkness reigned over the night, a light has dawned. And with it comes hope for all that will believe in the Lord Jesus, who is the Father's Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, and the Lord of all. To those who will tell the first-hand account, to those who will follow and proclaim it this day, there is reason to celebrate, to rejoice, to proclaim the faithfulness of God, because as he has promised, so has he delivered. He has risen. He has risen indeed. From dawn's first beginning to the setting of the same that day, let us journey through with those who were there to witness the events of the day as they were unfolding. It was a day that would start out with heaven rejoicing, and throughout its proclamations would find the sons and daughters of man wondering in awe at what they were seeing and what the days to come would bring. Heaven and earth would remember this day, and there would be no one or nothing that was not being changed by its events. He had risen, and things were about to get really interesting. We're going to take from all four of the Gospels and tell his story. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" From Mark 16. God had a plan. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Matthew 28. The stone is now rolled away, and the guards probably fled as soon as they were able to draw breath and felt strength return to their legs. How would they ever explain these happenings? And the women now approached the tomb. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Mark 16. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Matthew 28. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again?" Then they remembered his words from Luke 24. The angel then said to the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." And so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. And they ran to tell the disciples, from Matthew 28. When they got back from the tomb, they told all of these things to 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Luke 24. And so Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. And then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. John 20. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." And at this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said and how he had said these things to her. John 20. And these were only the beginning of things to come. Now, that same day, two of them were going to the village, a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" From Luke 24. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." From John 20. Heavenly Father, we can mask our voices. We can control our expressions, but we cannot overcome what is in our hearts. There stored is often what we do not understand, and yet it controls our thoughts and our actions, and is the display of our very nature, of whom it is we follow. That you would send your Son, and for him to be obedient to you even to the point of death, and for those who witnessed the power of your hand to raise him to life from the dead, and they're stepping forward to proclaim the good news, where should we be this very day? But, as it was prophesied, so was it fulfilled, and so shall it be. May the words of the psalmist, Lord, fill our hearts, that we may also proclaim, "I have seen you in the sanctuary, and beheld your power and your glory." because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Psalm 63, 2 and 3. Father, by your right hand we have been set free. May those who have been set free believe that they are free indeed. For he is risen. He has risen indeed. And yes, Lord, things are about to get really interesting. Amen.